Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you are in the adult Sunday school class, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Remember this message for the next 2 weeks and then forget about it, because we're going to be on Ecclesiastes 3 for our next lesson. But it's different. It's going to be different. So it'll be new stuff, but this was just something the Lord had put on our heart to share, and I thought it was a good thing for us to remember tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me get with you there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right after the book of Proverbs, is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where we're going. And we want to look at verses 1 to verse number 11. Verse 1 to verse number 11. And we can read this responsively. None of those names that we encountered this morning are there. But we can read this back and forth, please. We'll read verse number 1 to verse number 11. I'll start. You read verse 2, and we'll go back and forth, verses 1 through 11. Here we go. The Bible says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing.
A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away.
A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?
I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in.
Would you join me on verse 11, please? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Verse 1 there says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I read about this conversation recently, and I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it's not true. It's not true. The four seasons were talking together. And as they were arguing about which one of them was the best, winter piped up and boasted, "Well, you can build snowmen, and snow is so beautiful. And Christmas, everyone loves Christmas." Well, spring laughed, "Well, sure, but come springtime, everything's fresh and new. All the new flowers, it can't get better than that." And then summer gleamed away, said, "Yes, but I'm undoubtedly the best season. Ice cream, nice weather, all the sunshine you could want. You can't top that. What about you, Autumn?" Autumn said, "I'm leafing." Leaf, and you get the leaves. Anyway. Seasons. To every time there is a season, the Bible says. And we're in a season, and sometimes we're coming out of a season. The Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons are a combination of things. You know, they can be joyful, but they can also be grieving. And a reminder, not just what we have, but what we used to have. They can mark fall, giving way to winter, of course the various seasons as we mentioned, but can include the close of one part of our lives and the beginning of another. The Bible says to everything there is a season. We can't escape that. To everything. That's everything that has life, everything that exists. Seasons will come and seasons will go. But what does God have us to consider tonight that he can do? I'd like to share with you tonight, just briefly, God's work in the seasons of life. God's work in the seasons of life. It's not just a matter of timing, but it is things that happen in our life. What would the Lord have us to remind us of, to think about when it comes to a season in life? A season would be the beginning of an event or situation or circumstance, and then the close of it. That's kind of what we're talking about here. As he mentions all these various things, he doesn't say anything about summer, winter, or fall, does he? In Ecclesiastes, he's talking about things that happen in our life. He mentions a time to be born, a time to die, to plant, to pluck up, and then on and on he goes. We'll look at some of that in just a little bit. But I'd like to share with you tonight God's work in the seasons of life. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, we do thank you that you're with us through every season. You're available, Lord, and I pray we would take advantage of that even tonight. Father, I ask that you would show us what we can use tonight, what we learned from tonight, to help us through this week. Father, there's good times that are planned, but we know there's things that we haven't planned, but you know about them. And so we ask for your help, Lord, to get through those moments with you, with joy, with grace, so that you can have your way in our lives. Now you have given us your word. I pray you'd help us to see what it has to say. I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that these words would be yours and not my own. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's work in the seasons of life. The Bible tells us, number one, each season has a beginning and an end. Each season has a beginning and an end. Of course, the four seasons are constant. We know that likely around mid to late December, what's going to happen to autumn, to fall? It's going to change into, which it might change into before that, winter. And lo and behold, December 25th this year, Christmas is coming. Who knew? Every year. You can count on these things. The Bible says it's a constant. It happens regularly. Yet each year, those seasons mark the beginning of something new as well. And it can also include the loss. Seasons have highs and lows. For example, as the Bible says here in verse number 2, a time to be born. Birth brings great joy. Birth. Both physical and the new birth. Physical birth. When children are born, it's not great joy right before they get born. Now, I haven't done it. I haven't gone through that, but I've observed it. And I want to tell you, my wife wasn't all smiles until after the baby came. That's just the way it is, right, ladies? That's just the way it is. Great pain. And by the way, the reason why that is, the Bible says, is because of the sin that we have to deal with in this world. God said that's part of the curse, is the pain of birth giving. But once the baby has arrived, everybody's healthy, and God gets the glory through that. It brings great joy. Death. Death can bring great sorrow. By the way, I mentioned this morning in Sunday school about Lillian Dodge. How many remember Lillian Dodge? She's with the Lord tonight. She's with the Lord tonight. I think she was about 91 or 2, something like that. So praise the Lord. She knew Christ. She has a good testimony, or had a good testimony. And do remember the family. Although, you know, we sorrow that she's going to be gone, and others that we know are gone. They're not here with us anymore. We can rejoice in some of the good things we remember about them, like a testimony in Christ, or just, you know, things that we've learned from those that may not know the Lord, but yet we can say, hey, I learned this moral, this importance about life from that individual. Death can bring sorrow, but it can bring some comfort too. But life itself includes great struggles, great struggles. You know, getting through the day is very difficult for a lot of people. Some are not here tonight, or we're not here this morning because physically they just couldn't be here. They wanted to be here. Maybe they watched over the live stream, but they physically couldn't make it because the struggles and the season they're going through with their health right now. Seasons can have highs and lows, but God has purpose for the highs and lows. Look at verse number 11, please, here in Ecclesiastes again. We read it together. It says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God has purpose for these highs and lows. Now, I'm not of the philosophy that God makes everything. He's the one who made, you know, the car do this, or, you know, run out of gas. That was not his fault. That was our fault. He was not the one who brought along this physical health malady necessarily. No, those things happen, but through them, God says, I've got some purpose for that. I want to use it to help you, even though we can't see it at the moment. Even though it's still too dark to see through some of these seasons that we go through. The Bible is clear here in many other passages. He hath made everything beautiful. But notice the phrase there in verse 11. He's made it beautiful when? In His time. In His time. How many times have you said to God, are you paying attention to the clock, Lord? You know, things aren't working out the way we talked about. Weren't you listening to me? How many have ever felt like that with the Lord? Well, that's why He says, listen, it's in my time. It's in my time. We need to get on His clock if we want to see any kind of purpose through good and not so good. You know, just growing up is a struggle. How many remember that, man? Getting through life. God says there's purpose for things. Would you look to me? Look on my time. Each season has a beginning, but know that the season does have an end. I read one story one time about a lady who used to say in church that it didn't come to stay. The Bible says it came to pass. It came to pass. Seasons come and go. And sometimes that means there is an end to some of the good things too. And we get back into the struggle, into the diligence necessary to get back on the mountaintop with the Lord. Each season has a beginning and an end. Number two, each season has a direction God plans for us. Each season has a direction God plans for us. How many remember what a compass used to be? Now all you got to do is pull out your phone. Okay, where are we? Google, where are we? What's the other ones? Siri and all those things. But years ago, people used compasses. They could give you the direction. They could show you where north is, and then based on that, you could figure out where you wanted to go. Well, God has direction for you and me, even in the midst of these various seasons we go through. Look at verse number 9 and verse 10. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. The Bible tells us that God directs the steps of the surrendered believer. He directs the steps of the surrendered believer. It's not automatic. We won't see where the next step is that God has planned unless we submit to Him. And over, God's Word talks about that. Let's start out in Psalm 37. Let's see what it says there. Psalm 37, just a few pages back here in the Bible. Psalm 37, look at verse number 23. God directs the steps of the surrendered believer. Psalm 23. And we're looking at, Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24 there. Here's what the Bible says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, that is the man, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now the Bible says that man's steps are ordered by the Lord, but he gives a preface on that. What kind of man? The steps of a good man. Someone striving to do what God says, the righteousness, that's what that refers to. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If we don't follow those orders, we're going to have some struggles. Yeah, we're going to get off the path and have difficulty. My wife was reminding me, we were talking, I don't know why this came up, I can't even remember this afternoon at the dinner table, but Masada. Masada. How many know where Masada is? Masada is in Israel. And it was the fortress. It was actually a Roman fortress built by Herod. It was a palace. It was a place where he would have gone when he had first built as a kind of a retreat center. But in Israel, out in the desert near the Dead Sea, here's this place, Masada. And it's amazing. It's a huge rock formation. I forget how many hundreds of feet in the air it is. And it's pretty much straight up. And at one point, the Israeli Jewish zealots had taken control of that, And they made a final stand against the Roman Empire. Of course, they were defeated. But before they were defeated, they didn't let Rome take their lives. They took their own. That's what it's famous for, that everyone in the camp they died by the hand of suicide. But it's considered a place of stoutness. It's a place where Israel withstood the most powerful the most powerful kingdom in the world. And they never surrendered. That's what they're famous for. Today, all the army soldiers, when they finish their boot camp training, they march up to that place. You can still see where the slope is that's been there for thousands of years, perhaps. And they march right up to there, and they take their final oath for the Israeli army. And you can see videos of it on YouTube and stuff. It's very interesting. But if you were to try to climb up to that, and you take one false step, it's pretty sheer on the side of the cliff. And they say people have fallen. Now, I don't know about how many anyone has lost their life, but certainly there's danger on the way up there if you get off the wrong side of the path. You see, when God gives direction, he gives the best and safest direction. Does that mean everything is going to work out rosy? Well, if that were true, then none of us would ever have any problems. Amen. But that's not the case in life. What is true is, being on God's path, we can see the salvation of the Lord. We can see his hand in all things. And we can go through it with him. He orders the steps, and he upholdeth him. Verse 24 there, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. God directs the steps of the surrendered believer, but here's the prerequisite. We've got to be surrendered. We've got to be surrendered. Lord, I belong to you, and I'll let you lead. God directs, number two, the season to mold the believer. God directs the season to mold the believer. Turn with me to the New Testament, please. Romans chapter 8. Here's some verses you know well. There's some of those emergency verses. Remember when you have emergencies and you pull out these verses of Scripture and you say, Lord, here's what I'm claiming right now. Would you help me? Romans chapter 8. And this is one of those emergency verse passages as well. We're looking at verse 28. And 29 of Romans chapter 8. Would you read these verses with me? Let's read them together. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now the Bible, we've talked about Romans 8:28. You've quoted it with the Lord many times. But look at verse 29. What is the purpose of all the things that work together? What is their purpose? That we may be conformed to the image of who? His Son. His Son. Not grandma and grandpa, not mom and dad, not even pastor or anybody else that we want to be similar to in our walk, or someone that's great and faithful to the Lord. The Bible says his Son, his Son. You know why not anybody else but his Son? Because his Son makes no mistakes. His Son doesn't foul up. His Son doesn't wish things were different and regret in his life. No, the Bible says he's perfect. It's his image. God directs the seasons, those various times through life, so that we might be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. You know, someone in the Old Testament who fits this quite well is a man named Joseph. Remember reading about Joseph? Joseph was Israel, Jacob's son. Jacob was Abraham's grandson. And here was Joseph. He was born loved by Israel. You remember the story. Hated by his brothers. All of them. The Bible indicates that they were jealous of him. They did not like the attention their dad gave to him. And eventually they worked out a plan. We're going to get rid of him. And they had planned to kill him. That was the plan. But yet, by God's hand, they were able to, one of the brothers was able to save Joseph's life, but not to bring him back to the family. And he was sold to Ishmaelites and eventually sold again in Egypt and eventually became a prisoner as he was falsely accused. And so many things for decades had troubles. Time after time, he faced disappointment for reasons that were not apparent to him. You and I can look back in Genesis. We can read the story. We know some of the things that Joseph didn't know before they happened, you know? But he didn't. You know, your story, my story, it's not completed yet from our perspective. God knows the end. He knows how it's going to happen and where it's going to work out, but you and I don't. In all these seasons, whether it was in bondage to Ishmaelites, Potiphar's house, or prison, God had a plan, and it was for God's glory and eventually Joseph's good. Listen to what he said. Let's go there, as a matter of fact. Genesis 45. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 45. See what he had to say when all the prison time and the slavery was now behind him. You remember what happened. The famine in the land forced Jacob to send his sons, the remaining sons, into Egypt to get some help. They were going to starve to death if they didn't. When they went there, they met Joseph, who was now only second in command to the king. God had raised him up in such an amazing way. Genesis 45 is when they meet. Genesis 44 is when they meet, but chapter 45 is where he reveals to him, "Hey, I'm Joseph, remember, I'm your brother." He looked so different. Of course, he was older. He probably had the appearance of those pharaohs and so forth and those great royal men. And there he was, and they did not recognize him. First thing they thought of was what? The brothers thought, "Oh, no. We really did it this time." They thought there was retribution coming back to them. They thought judgment from Joseph is imminent. Look at what he said, though, in Genesis 45. I'm going to start with verse number 4. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither by be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you. Now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Did you catch it there in verse 8? Joseph looked back and he said, from 20/20 vision behind me, I can see God was using these seasons, orchestrating things to help me be a help to our people, to leave a people on this earth that would honor and be God's chosen. You see, sometimes we've got to look at it from God's perspective because he has direction during those seasons. Each season has a direction, God's plan, God plans for us. Number three. Let's go back. Look at verse number 11 with me in Ecclesiastes, please. 3:11. He says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Each season, number three, has potential for great joy. Each season has potential for great joy. Remember Philippians chapter 4? And verse number 4, Philippians 4:4. If you know it, would you say it with me? "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." The Bible says that there is no time that we cannot rejoice in the Lord. And we say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Preacher, you know what's going on in my life? No, I really don't. You share some things with me. I'll share some things with you. But, you know, only the Lord knows what's going on in the soul. But he does say, even in the midst of those days, those moments, there is a time to rejoice in me, in the Lord. And I like how Paul put it there in Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Not in the circumstance, but not in something, but in the Lord. And how often does he say? Always. Always. The Bible purposely left out the S. Always is what it says. At any time and through anything, he says you can rejoice in the Lord. God has a purpose for the particular season we find ourselves. He wants us to be faithful and loving parents. He wants us to be obedient and honoring children. He wants us to have a submissiveness and lovingness in our marriage. God's plan is if for us to be church members filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that God's plan today was for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Every day, every day. A growing trust in God and closer walk to Christ helps us grow and go through the seasons in the joy of the Lord. If we see the seasons through our way, my own way, likely disappointment will be a result. But if we see them through God's way, gratefulness, and in a week like this, thanksgiving can be a result. The pastor who married us, his name was Lee Crockett. He's with the Lord today too. And I remember him preaching one time years and years ago when we were visiting in Indiana. He preached about a man in his church who had cancer. And one of his deacons went with him to go visit this man while he was now in the hospital. He lay dying, as the story went. And he said, you know, after that visit, they had a nice time. During the visit, the man who had the cancer said, you know, after looking at it through God's eyes, I thank God that I am going through this moment. It's helping me learn more about him. It's helping me in my, I'm sorry that I didn't learn this before the cancer came. And shortly after, the man passed away. And the pastor said, I remember Pastor Crockett saying this specifically, that his deacon said, I don't know how a man can be thankful for cancer. How could he do that? And though he wanted to be an encouragement, he couldn't understand. Not that he was thankful for the cancer, but for the time that he's going through. Pastor Crockett, I remember, said just a few months after that, this man also was diagnosed with cancer. And before long, his testimony was the same. And wouldn't you know, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago now, maybe, Pastor Crockett eventually also succumbed to cancer. When he passed away, he and his family were together and they were singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Friends, I don't want cancer. I don't want you to have it. Amen. I don't want those kind of seasons, but if they come, know that God can be with you and you can have a rejoicing through them. When difficulties in life, struggles come, you can rejoice. We can rejoice in the Lord. And it's hard to say that during this time of year when it's, you know, we're trying to remember the good things. And let's do. But we need to be realistic too. Bad things still do come our way. Would you look to the Lord for these seasons? Would you rejoice in him? Always. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you can show us in your word that even though these difficult moments come, there's always you. You're the constant, Lord. We thank you. You know the end. I pray help us to get on your side, on your path, so that each step we take would be the right one. Lord, that we would come out the better for you and honoring to you. And in some way, in some fashion, Lord, bring someone else to Christ. Lord, is that not the greatest joy on this earth, is to bring someone to Jesus, point them to him? I pray, Father, you'd help us to do that. This particular week, we're asking your help, Lord. Help us to have that spirit of thanksgiving, that desire to give you glory in everything, and that everyone we talk to, They'll see not just someone who's thankful, but they'll see a reflection of our Savior, Jesus. And they'll want to know Him. We ask your help, Lord, now and this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're able, would you stand with me, please? If you're able. I'm going to ask a couple questions. I want to ask, first of all, if I can pray for you. And here's what I'm going to pray about: a season that you might be in right now. You know what all the details, I don't know them. But I would like to ask, if you're here this evening and you have a season and you'd like prayer with that, would you allow me to pray with you about that? And here's how I can know. Just raise your hand and put it right back down. Yes, yes. Pastor, I'm going through a season. Just raise it, put it right back down. Would you remember me when you close? I'll not mention names, but we'll pray. Yes, I see that. I'm going through a season. I sure would appreciate your prayers. This week, tonight, yes, yeah. Pray for me. I got a season going on. I want to come out with rejoicing in the Lord. Would you pray for me? Anyone else like that tonight? Question number two, and this is between you and God. Would you ask the Lord to help you? I'll pray in just a moment for that. Would you ask the Lord to help you see the way to rejoice, the all way in the situation, so that He can get the glory and your heart can be at peace with Him, see His goodness, even through the midst of these things. Finally, maybe you're here tonight, you need Christ as your Savior. Friend, you've come to the right place, but the truth is you still need Jesus as your Savior. You need to call on Him. Pastor, I need Christ. Would you remember me when you close tonight? I want to settle that before I leave. I don't want to wait any more moments without God as my Heavenly Father. Would you pray for me? That's my need. Here's how I can know you: raise it up and raise it down, and I'll pray, not by name, just for that need to be met tonight. Father, you're so good to us, and yet there's difficulties and seasons we go through. Some of us have said we're there right now. We sure want to seek your face. We sure want to take the right steps, Lord. And so I ask you, would you please help us, help these dear folks? We're going through seasons. Lord, that we would see and be submissive to you, but also purposely rejoice in you. Rejoice in you. Not in the wrong or the bad, but rejoice in you, knowing that you have purpose and plan. Help us, Lord, to see a glimpse of it. Give us some of that encouragement, even now. May you get the glory for all things, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Paul's going to come lead us in that final song. It's number 366. Would you turn there, please? We'll sing that song. If the Lord's still leading you, you'd like to pray and come forward about that, please do. Please do as we sing number 366. We'll sing that first verse.